So we're gonna have public comments. Make a real quick comment that, you know, back in the middle of May before I went out of town for my annual two-day fishing trip, which is all I could do this year, I had asked Blake and Gignac and, you know, to start looking at some alternatives of how we could try to squeeze the convention or the theater into a different area or whatever. This message had been relayed to Cameron County, and we'd been trying to have a meeting with the judge and such over the last 6 weeks. We were informed on Friday at 2:38 after the Cameron County Commissioner's Court's agenda was posted, that we were on the agenda. I'd spoken to the judge. I was told that it was going to get pulled or tabled. Obviously, that did not happen. And Cameron County did whatever Cameron County wanted to do, I guess. But in that process, on June 12th, the day before I'd gotten the phone call that we're on the agenda, we'd gotten some rough plans of some relocations of the theater and stuff, and we're still working on it. It's going to have significant cost increase by where it's going to be located, if possibly located, which involves also squeeze some budget items or whatever it might be if we decide to go that route. We're also, since of yesterday's Cameron County decision or vote or whatever it might be, it's also spurred some other conversations that we will hopefully be having on July 2nd, 3rd, whatever our meeting date is on that Wednesday. It's unfortunate this is the way this has gone, especially since, you know, as I was reminded by a council member today, we haven't even approved any final plans yet. So anyway, there we are. Now, does anybody from the public wish to speak?
Mayor, council people, my name is Joni Montevere. I am a resident property owner on the island for over 15 years. 10 of that I owned and operated a pretty successful little business. And so I just have a few comments. On September 11th, 2024, the City Council approved payments to the architectural firm Gignac and Associates for invoices 1, 2, and 3, totaling approximately $1.4 million for the proposed expansion of the South Padre Island Convention Center. This evening, on the consent agenda, an additional $671,000 is being requested to pay invoice number 7. Notably, invoices 4, 5, and 6 are unaccounted for. There is no backup provided in any meeting packets, nor are any of these amounts referenced in prior council actions. Of greater concern, in May, a payment of $294,000 was issued to Gignac and Associates. This payment did not appear on any City Council agenda for formal approval, nor was there any supporting documentation provided in council packets or to explain or justify the expenditures. For a project of this scale and public importance, transparency is not just expected, it is essential. Yet to date, the city has expended over $1 million on this project without conducting a single public workshop or open forum to gather community input or explain its direction. I urge the council to ensure future actions regarding this project are fully transparent, properly documented, and inclusive of public engagement. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything from the public to say? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to anyone from staff have any public comments. July 4th parade coming up.
Debbie Huffman, Parks and Recreation Manager. The July 4th parade will be on Friday, July 4th, starting at 9 a.m. at Beach Access 8, and we'll walk down to Beach Access 4. We'll have watermelon and water, and there'll be giveaways at the start line at Beach Access 8. And one other note for the Parks Department is that we've got a public survey out. As part of the Texas Parks and Wildlife grant process, they requested that we have some updated community input on parks. So I put out a survey. We've gotten some good responses in already, but I've got a flyer here. So it's been on social media, and Karen has really pushed it out to the public, so we've gotten some responses, but I wanted to get that on the record. Anyone that wants to fill the survey out, we'd appreciate it, any input that anyone has. So, thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else from staff? Anyone from the board have any comments?
I do. So, sad to report, we had a longtime resident who used to live here, moved several years ago, but she was a vital asset to the island. I served with her for many years on the Parks Committee. I regret to inform everybody the passing of Jody Hughes, so I'd like a moment of silence in her memory. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll move to item number four, which is approved consent agenda. We have a request to pull 4.11 and discuss that outside of consent agenda. So is there a motion to approve 4.1 through 4.10?
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we'll go to 4.1. Approve a budget amendment in the amount of up to $671,186.84 to allocate venue tax funds for architectural and other professional services associated with the convention center expansion that have been rendered to date. You know, when we all signed this contract with GIGNAC, it was a 7% contract based off of estimate of construction costs, which are somewhere around 98, 97, whatever it is, million. And so that's kind of when that contract was approved. Carrie, you've asked for this item to be pulled for discussion, so I will let you have the floor.
Yeah, it's just a matter of some clarity in the billing that's submitted. One of the questions, of course, will be environmental services by half an associates. The environmental services, what does that include? Does anybody know?
It was delineation surveys, delineation of wetlands. We've asked for a lot of trying to figure out plants, all sorts of fun stuff, and
okay,
that sort of thing. But I'll defer to Blake if he has anything to add.
It's wetland delineation and cultural resources. I don't know what cultural resources is. USACE, Nationwide Permit Development, and something, you know, they're significant amounts. And I have no idea what that is, a wetland and cultural resources.
We were trying to expand some parking into an area that could or could not possibly be wetlands. And so you're trying to figure out it, get the Corps to say if they're wetlands or not, and then to come out with a little bit of a mitigation plan.
Okay.
I think it was like 3,000 square feet. It's been on the plans for a while.
All right, so, and permit development would mean if we need to get a permit from the Corps,
right, yeah,
which they don't readily hand out.
No, it's a process, yes.
Yeah, so, like I said, the Schuler Shook design development plan for draft specifications. This had to do with the theater. There's item DD submission subtotal. What does DD stand for? It's
design development.
Is that okay?
It's right there. It's on page.
The next page.
Page. It says design development plans and draft specifications. And there's 60% submission of design development plans.
Okay, just making sure it's consistent. There's a bunch of other, abbreviations are used, but he's got to my satisfaction, the explanation of what they mean. And that's all the questions I have regarding this. And I would assume we have backup material for each invoice that was submitted that finance would look at and make sure it's proper.
Really, the architect is responsible for approving what level of completion people are on their invoices.
Okay.
And then the architect is at cost of trying to figure it out. And, you know, that the fee basis of the architect right now is around $7.3 million. And you know, I guess it was someone said that this backup wasn't in the packet. Was it not online?
It's in the packet.
Okay. Online. All right.
Which backup?
The invoices.
Not the I didn't see them.
Okay. Anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the contract was, you know, approved at whatever dollar amount it is, and these are the breakdowns, and this is what he's drawing for.
Okay. Well, like I said, I looked at, this is all there was in the packet that I looked up online, as, you know, even today.
Well, would you like to make a motion since you pulled the item?
Make a motion, we go ahead and approve the payment of, since service has been rendered.
Okay.
Mayor, I've got some questions.
Okay. Is there, can I get a second, or are we going to let
second?
Okay. All right, go ahead, Ken.
2 weeks ago, we were asked on the request was $3.6 million, and 2 weeks later, we're $691,000. What happened to the other $3 million?
Well, what it was is it was a request for a budget amendment in the amount of three, not a request for payment. Mm-hmm. This is request, you know, budget amendment.
Correct.
We pulled it was we're just doing a budget amendment because we never did a budget for the $7.3 million. Like, we've done a budget amendment
what
for
was
one
that,
point yeah. something. And
what was the $3 million going to be? But the other
was just
$587,958. Where are the details, the breakdown, the services, the deliverables, the plans, et cetera? Mayor, there's just not enough. There's not enough for me to vote in favor of it.
In favor of the $671,000?
$587,958. Yeah, $691,186.
Okay, hold on 1 second. This is a budget amendment to approve up to $671,186.84.
Right.
You said $691,000.
Okay, $671,000.
Oh. Okay. That's what
I was here. Okay. So the invoices aren't enough for us to for you to approve?
For me, no.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions?
Who signed off on those invoices, Mayor?
We signed off on the contract with Gignac as a council, I don't know, a year ago, and we agreed that we would pay on services rendered. And as they're designing things, they put the architect gets all his consultants and everything else, and he puts them together, and then they have their schedule of how they do things and how they get paid. So I don't know. I mean, if we want to renege on our contract for $7.4 million.
Who signs off?
Do what?
Who architect signs off here at the city?
The architect is responsible for...
Who signs off here at the city, Patrick?
We are right now. We signed a contract for $7.349485.50.
That's not in question.
Okay. So when we have invoices, anyway. I don't understand what we're trying to do here. I mean, we have invoices that need to be paid to vendors for work that's been completed to a certain level. Do we not want to pay them? I mean, I don't care. I'm trying to figure out what we're trying to say here. Yeah, you can ask a question. Yeah, go right ahead.
And on your phone, she's sending you a picture of the backup just so you can have it right there. The same thing right out of the file.
I don't have it on my phone, but okay. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got stuck and I missed public comments, but I had a question on this item. Where is the money coming from?
Coming from the CVB fund, and I believe it's coming from... I don't know. Rodrigo's not here. Okay, so there he is. All right, Rodrigo can answer that question.
Timing is everything.
Didn't see you hiding back there. Barry was.
Yeah, blocking. I was trying, but. I know. Nice to see you. Venue tax money. It's coming from the 2% from the venue tax money. on previous invoices. There has been a budget amendment approved by City Council. I don't have all the details in my head, but I do recall approving up to $2 million budget amendment. That's how we paid the previous invoices. But they're taking this $600,000 for a new budget amendment to add to the $2 million that you previously approved. So hope that answered the question.
I think that does answer my question, but I have another question for the City Council. First, I'd like to clarify a few things because it's coming out of the venue tax. And the venue tax was not approved for a big box construction of a $100 million convention center. I have the ballot measure right here. You'd like for me to read it to you. And it's not for this. So if you're taking this out of the general fund, out of the city, I cannot speak against that. That's your decision. If you're taking this out of the CVB funds after approval by the Convention and Visitors Bureau Board, I don't see any problem with that. But it cannot come out of the venue tax money. And the proposition clearly states here that the proposition authorizes the city of South Padre Island. This is what went to the voters. For the planning, design, development, acquisition, renovation, and construction of a convention center annex. Mm-hmm. Not a $100 million convention center, or a $90 million, or a $75 million, whatever you choose your number.
Or $1.
Or $1. But it's not supposed to come out of the venue tax money. This is for an annex. The venue tax, in addition to that, also called for the Padre Boulevard medians and improvements, which we've done, and also maintenance, by the way. It's in the bond documents. It also calls for an amphitheater, improvements for sports and community venue projects, and related land purchase. The land purchase part comes over and over and over again. And if you go back to the meetings of 2015 and 16, Kerry, you attended a lot of those meetings. You should know better. That language was in there because we had a project right now, a convention center that was on leased property from somebody else. We don't own the land. I'll go on. And it says improvements of sports community venue projects, sports and community venue projects and related land purchases, automobile parking facility, and related land purchases. It keeps coming over and over again.
But Barry, I do want to tell you that we have, there is some land stuff that's being worked on that we're not.
I understand that
right
we're,
now.
We'll
so.
Get to that at a certain point. We've talked about that many times, and you know my feelings on that.
Yeah,
if you don't own the land, you don't own anything.
I agree.
So, that you're using that money for soft cost. The venue tax money for soft cost is a misappropriation of funds, in my opinion. At some point, I'd like to see the thought process of each city council member, because you do owe a fiduciary duty to this town. This was voted on. We put images on here. When we went to the voters of South Padre Island, we wanted to be very clear of what our intent was with the venue tax. So we put pictures. If you didn't want to read it, automobile parking facility and related land purchase. Padre Boulevard medians improvements, which shows the Padre Boulevard medians. No doubt there. Wind and water community venue related to land purchase. Concert and entertainment facility. Convention center annex dead last. Potentially could include a SpaceX launch viewing site. Potentially. Family entertainment venues. This is what the voters of South Padre Island approved. But that's not what you're using the money for. You suddenly somebody decided, hey, let's use the venue tax money to pay for all the soft cost for a huge convention center expansion or reconstruction. That's not what that is for. We've talked about this many times. Now, I don't know why this is being pushed so hard, so fast. The people that own that land is Cameron County. They said no yesterday. They said no. You cannot do this without public forums, public discussion. It's public money. The people out there renting rooms every day, sweating, changing sheets and washing towels, paying the taxes, and here we are, just, you know what, just write the check, it's okay. $20 million, it's a snap, not a problem. Let's not have any public meetings. Is this what you guys ran on?
We've had public meetings, we've had workshops, we had the Johnson
I have
study.
Never attended a workshop.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't attend it.
I've never received a notice.
Here.
I don't know what, you know, what this is about. I mean, what's the big hurry?
I don't know. We've been working on this for 6 years. I had with you 3 years ago where you said, let's add a theater to it.
Right.
You know, so I don't know what we're doing here.
Let's go back a little bit, Patrick.
I don't know how we're going to... I don't know what we're going to do here. You want us to cancel the contract?
I don't know. You approved it.
I have a question. Barry, excuse me. I'm sorry.
No, I'm very disappointed with the way these things are going. You know, we work very hard to pay taxes to the city taxes, county taxes. Hey, things are tough. And the way you guys brush aside questions that we put forward to you, Joe, like, hey, you know, I'm the king here, so nobody asked me any questions. That's ridiculous.
Barry, you don't pick up your phone. I called you a couple days ago. No return phone call.
So,
I have a question for you. I'd like to know what your definition of the word annex is. Because I know what the Webster's Dictionary says it's attaching to a larger entity.
All
so
right.
If you say convention center annex or expansion, that means you're attaching to that facility.
Yeah.
I've sat through probably a half dozen meetings with you going back to 2010.
Joe?
When you all formed the transition committee,
we
sat in here.
Yeah. We
and we talked about this.
You're an elected official.
So when you say that we have never had meetings about this.
All right, let me answer your question.
Please.
First of all, you're an elected official of this town, and I respect you for that. So I'm not going to go and impose my thoughts on you. You need to go back and listen to the meetings of 2015 and 16 and see what the annex means. Answer that question for yourself.
I have.
It. Yeah, well.
I'm just going off what the word means, Barry.
Time, Kerry,
and sitting in meetings with you.
Can you explain what we had talked about in those days? I mean, you were there.
Yeah, it was a multiple thing.
There was the chaos building. There was other properties that were on sale at that time. We had talked about. We decided that, you know what, let's. There was many options that we
sat through most of those meetings.
Mm-hmm. Well,
going back to like 2006 when I got on the CVB or CVBA.
At this point, all I'm saying is that I think it's wrong to spend all this money. In a small town like ours, we have one shot at this, folks. The venue tax projects were meant to be a continuous thing, that we do a small project, $5, $10, $15, $20 million, successful. We move on to the next project, go back to the voters. As the revenues go up, it's a good business plan. It was well thought out. It was certainly was not for a big convention center to be financed by venue tax. These were many projects. And as time goes and revenues go up, we add more projects to it, like the county has. The county gets a half a point from us, 2% from every other city in Cameron County. They did their two projects, they finished them, they have extra money, so they're now going back to the voters to do more projects. That is what the venue tax project was all about, mm-hmm. Not a big box project, folks.
6 years with the Army Corps of Engineers on the
maybe we need a new set of leaders to take it forward. I don't know.
And we
maybe it's time to throw in the towel and say, let somebody else try this. I did that.
I can appreciate that.
And I think we're at a point. Like I said, we're going to begin a new process July 2nd on our meeting. So, you know, part of this is a concert facility. Would you use a convention center for concerts, family entertainment venue? Well, that we're expanding, trying to get into youth sports, so forth. My idea, and back then we discussed it, I wanted a theater, desperately wanted a theater. If I had a choice between building a nice theater or expanding the convention center, I'd vote for the theater. I'd turn that whole center into an eco convention center, tie in with the birding center. Everybody else have videos going all the time. We've talked about that.
You need a second to that motion?
I already have a motion on the floor
right now.
So, you know what, I'm being facetious because Rico and I are
To me, that satisfies a lot as far as venue taxes is the theater, because it is a concert. Well, you could do concerts in a theater facility. Yeah,
but
finally,
trot along and then vote for something else. We can't have that. You either want what you just talked about or you don't. And obviously, by voting for a big, huge construction of a convention center, you're against what you just said. Otherwise, you would have said
because it includes the theater element to it.
We don't have enough land to do that. Anybody can tell you that you can pay somebody. I can pay a guy $25,000 to do a site plan that shows you that's not. I don't need to pay $700,000 to know that. I do plans all the time, folks. And I can tell you, I can get a site plan done that shows you that you can't do all those things on that lot. So the venue tax projects come into play at that moment and say, okay, now we have a way to buy land. It says on there to purchase land,
right,
and move forward on the other things that you just talked about. I mean, there has to be a thought pattern here that works. But we can't just all be going in one direction. Let's just build a huge convention center. They'll solve all our problems. Because that's not what the venue tax was about. Now, if you're using just hotel tax money to fund a convention center of this size, it doesn't make sense, because you do a $100 million convention center with that money, you won't have any money left for marketing or anything else. On top of that, who's going to insure a $120 million convention center on a barrier island in the Gulf of Mexico? Have you thought about that?
We actually asked that question, and our insurance company said it's insurable.
Okay, what's the cost?
I did ask that question because I had concerns about that.
Patrick, I understand that, and you're a business guy.
Yeah.
Now, where's the P&L that says when we go from a X number of thousand square feet building to so many, where's the P&L that shows what the increment in construction, in maintenance, in labor, in utilities, in insurance? Where is that P&L?
It was in that Johnson study. I just don't have it on me right now.
We need to prepare that P&L based on our current expenses. I mean, we need to do that. You don't agree with that, Joe?
I don't agree with what you're saying, no,
well,
sir.
Well, no, of course not.
I don't. Your story's. I mean, this is a 180 from where you were 4 years ago.
And now
you're saying the residents didn't vote for this. They did. The word annex means to attach to a larger structure.
That's not what you're doing.
That is what we are doing. We are attaching.
Here's the deal.
To a larger structure.
Okay. First of all,
no, I want to finish. Excuse me, sir, Mayor. Okay, we've been talking about this. I've sat in the meetings with you. When you say you've never heard of this, Barry, you were on the hiring committee when we hired Blake, and we brought Blake in for one reason, and to build us a new convention center. You sat in that meeting. That's why he was here.
We did not hire Blake to build a convention center.
That's exactly why we hired him, because that was his previous experience.
A convention center. I thought he was to bring in groups.
Stop. First of all, this item is about $671,186.84. That's what this item is about. We're not going back in time. I have not invented a time machine. Nobody here has invented a time machine. We approved a contract a long time ago. If we want to vote to not pay the people, I don't care. If we want to vote to pay the people, that's great too. But here is where we are. We can't go back and revisit 2 year ago decisions. We all voted unanimously to hire Gignac for this based off of this. Okay? And so, my God, it's in the backup. I don't know. I'm going to call motion to vote. All in favor, please say. Motion to vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
All right, great. Thank you. We're moving on to 5.1, discussion and possible action to approve 2025 to 2026 annual budget for the South Padre Island Economic Development Corp. This budget was approved by the EDC board unanimously on May 20th,
2025. No, you're not going to talk.
Darla LaPere, Executive Director of the Economic Development Corporation. I'm here to get this budget approved, if possible, tonight. The EDC board already approved it, like you said, at the May meeting. And I'll just go over the different line items. The first thing is the revenue. We're going to go from, it's pretty much the same as last year. We were at $1,360,798, and now we're going to go to $1,352,950. We do have a little bit more operating bank interest. We added a CD or two, so I think that was something Carrie had mentioned. So we are getting more operating bank interest, so the total revenue is $1,372,950. Then we have to balance. So we've got the administrative expenses. The change there was 4%. And then the operating expenses, I'm not going to go over these line items, but if anybody has any questions, it's exactly the same as last year on all the operating expenses. And then the next category is the birding center expenses. Those are also the same as last year. Those categories include insurance, the facility maintenance reserve. That's the account that we put money in every year for major repairs. And then we have the preventative maintenance for the birding center. The next line item is the bond payment. That is going to be paid in 2028. So we have 3 more years left. That goes up a little bit each year, and we're doing principal instead of the interest, but it's $401,850 this year. So the total administrative operating and bond payment is $729,361. And then we get to the good part, the projects. This is our program of work. We've got the Kaufman Entrepreneurship Course, and that's the same as last year. We've got our Sand Dollars for Success grants, and we've got, that's $105,000, same as last year. We've got the Artificial Reef contribution of $50,000. That's the Friends of RGB Reef project. And then we have the Art Business Incubator, and that's the same, $30,000. And then the Facade Improvement Grants, we have $50,000 there, same as last year. And then we have Fishing's Future Program. That's Shane Wilson's ICANN vessel. We've been doing that, I think, about, this is our fourth year, $25,000 for them. And then we want to do $200,000 again for the Marina Marine Park. We hit a little bump in the road on that, but we want to start putting that into a reserve account. I'm going to be visiting with Rodrigo about that. And then the designated projects is kind of the amount that's left to balance it. And we can use that for either items listed above or a new project. I'm looking at a new grant called Quality of Life Grants that would help the parks on the island and things like that. Brownsville has one, and I'm kind of taking their document and just adjusting it for the island. Lynn Tate is helping me with that.
That's great.
Yeah. So we can either do it from other projects or maybe do 2 sand dollars instead of 3 sand dollars a year. I have the Sand Dollars for Success open right now, and we've got 6 applicants, and all 5 are existing businesses and 1 new. The new restaurant where BurgerFi was, Isla Bahi, she's going to apply. They're ribbon cuttings next week. I'm real excited about that restaurant.
Which one?
Isla Bahi, where BurgerFi was. She owns all the Juice Us's.
Yes. Yes.
Juice Us in the valley. So, that's it. Does anybody have any questions? Pretty much the same as last year.
Is there a motion? Or anybody have any questions? Nope.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks. Then we'll move to 5.2, Fiscal Year 2025-2026 CVB Budget Presentation and Discussion. Rodrigo.
Yeah. Mayor, council members, good evening. On the last council meeting, we went over all the budgets for all the city's funds. Darla just finished presenting the EDC, so the only missing budget is a CBB for the upcoming fiscal year. This budget, marketing is an important part of the budget. The marketing portion was presented to the CBB board and approved by the CBB board on June the 2nd. You already know the healthy fund balance that the CBB has. You already know the strong financial position that they have, especially with excess reserves. And this proposed budget is kind of more of the same. You know, we are projecting revenues over expenditures in the amount of $1.9 million, which means revenues exceeds, you know, all the expenditures that we're budgeting, based on a level of collection of almost $12 million in hot and model tax, which is a conservative approach. As I was saying, you know, revenues in the amount of $12.6 million in total, with expenditures of 10.7. Revenues, as you can see, the bulk is coming from the hot and model tax, to be precise, 94%. The actual rental of the facility represents about $336,000 in revenue. And miscellaneous, we have some interest from investments that you know, is the main component of the 360. Unlike the general fund, personal cost only represents 20% of the CBB cost. The big department of the CBB, under the umbrella of the CBB, is the marketing with $5 million, followed by sales and administration, and the convention center facility with $1.9 million. This pie chart shows the distribution or allocation of expenditures. As you can see, marketing, it takes almost 55% if you combine marketing and events marketing of the total budget. In terms of personal or payroll for the upcoming fiscal year, there's no new full-time positions being proposed, only a 3% COLA like your city employees. The 3% COLA represents $44,000. We know that the visitor center is also under the umbrella of the CBB. It's a very small, you know, budget. I guess the main, you know, excluding payroll, the main cost is the rent at the multimodal, which is about $24,000. The museum facility is also a small budget with budgeting $41,000 to keep up with the maintenance, utilities, and insurance. We might need to adjust that a little bit once the building is open. Because of the cost of the building, insurance is going to go up, insurance coverage is going to go up, so we might need to adjust that. But we'll do that before we submit the final budget to you. The second biggest department is sales and administration. The biggest line items are convention services for $150,000. Promotional items for $105,000, and trade show fees for $110,000. The CBB continues to support events on the island to promote the local economy by allocating about $711,000 for sponsorship. In addition to that, $50,000 allocated for eco sponsorships, and the $80,000 for fireworks.
Which are the three or four shows a year, right?
Yes, that's correct, sir.
Yes, the July 4th, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and then, you know, one rant on New Year's Eve.
Yes, we probably...
One or something.
Yeah, I'll get back to Lori and Blake about that. We might need to add those small shows that we've been adding in the past few years, so might be a little bit less, but we'll check on that. Marketing, the biggest department, as I was saying, the big... allocation is media placement of $3.5 million. Then you have production for $400,000, professional services for the agencies and other softwares, and other marketing for $220,000. The allocation for the agency, the greenhouse, is $2,170,000 within the marketing department. In terms of the convention center facility, we know that we have a reserve study. We put a kind of a hold on that. The reserve study is to keep up with the maintenance a plan to keep up with the maintenance of the facility. It doesn't mean that we're not doing maintenance of the facility, but without the unknowns of the future expansions or renovation, whatever the scope is, we will budget as needed. But we're budgeting the basic needs to keep on everything going on. However, we're adding, some equipment, golf carts, and two golf carts, I believe, and a lift for the maintenance of the CBB. Again, there's no really big differences with the basic operating budget that was approved by you last year. There's no significant variances on that. Now that we cover all the budgets, the next step will be to have a special meeting on July the 30th to formally submit the budget to you, and then from there we'll take all the public hearings and votes on tax rates and ordinance and all the requirements in our local ordinances and state law. So that's it.
Is Gleek still here? I had a question about eco sponsorships.
No, I think he stepped out.
Is he here?
I think he stepped out.
Can you grab him? Don't mean to put you on the spot.
CV director.
Well, eco sponsorships, do you know what that is off the top of your head? If not, just email me. I'm just curious.
What are we talking about?
You have a $50,000 budget item in there for eco sponsorships.
For the RGB reef.
That's right.
That's what we do every year. We drop the railroad ties off the coast, spurs economic fishing, keeps our fishing.
Yeah, no, I got it. Just wasn't sure.
Got it.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? So the budget's got $1.9 million positive growth into the funds.
Yes.
Okay, anybody have any other questions? Is there a motion? No motion. All right, cool. Presentation discussion. All right, we'll move to 5.3. Discussion and action regarding the request by the SBI. Oh, we're going to table 5.3. We'll move to 5.4. We'll pull 5.3. Go to 5.4. Discussion and action to approve the Sterling McCall Ford purchase agreement for the acquisition of two ambulances in the amount of $607,150 with the proceeds of the future issuance of the 2025 tax notes. Chief Big.
Mayor, City Council, Jim Pig, Fire Chief, Santa Madre. As we previously discussed, that when you did the approval for the money to be funded for this, we said that we'd try to find some ambulances that were cheaper than we originally brought to the table. Less expensive. And we found those. And it's a good company. It's a really reputable company. Brownsville buys most of their ambulances from this company. The one that we originally said the price on was something we could buy right away. It was pretty much ready to go. But with the savings of this money, we can buy the chassis. We just need a letter signed that the chassis would be approved, and we write the check for the chassis, and then we pay the balance off when we get it in. That's the first purchase agreement. The second one is the same sort of a setup. You pay for the chassis and then pay for the rest of it when it's complete.
Chief, what's the delivery date on those?
We're looking at December for the first one and probably May for the second one.
What's the difference in the chassis?
The year model. The year model.
Okay.
They're both brand new, but one's a 24 and then the next one will be a 26.
So the 26 is a 73 and the 24 is the 60, I guess?
Correct.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
So when you buy a chassis, that includes the engine, drivetrain, and everything else, correct? So
then they'll send over to Fraser, and they'll start building the box. And put
so what happens in a case when it becomes you have a problem with it, with a warranty issue? They are warrantied, right?
Correct.
What do you think we'll get into a battle between the outfitters, for lack of a better word, and the chassis builder? Blaming each other?
We shouldn't. We've not had anybody tell us that has went with this company before that they've had any issues from them.
They right. said Brownsville, just, yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Anybody?
We have a motion in a second.
All right. Yeah. Oh, I got a question back there. Philip, can you come up here? We have four, two, well, go ahead, Chief.
We have four currently. One is the small van. We will be getting rid of that one and selling that, and that'll go back into the general fund. We'll keep the other one for a backup or to do standbys.
At one point in time, we had zero ambulances working on one day because of repairs, maintenance, whatever it might be. And we don't want to be in that position. We want to make sure we have an ambulance working on the island.
Sounds like the wave.
Multiple ambulances working on the island.
Well, yeah, we'd like to, we'd preferably like to have multiple of them running. All right, all in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Then we'll go to 5.5, which is a discussion regarding West Carolyn Street short-term rental issues. Ken, Kerry, Ken, you started this conversation. Kerry asked to be added to it, so I will let you have the floor.
Okay, it seems like since spring, not a week goes by and a weekend that I don't get a call. And I know they've been registered at the PD, but there's folks here from Carolyn that have got a petition they'd like to present.
The petition was presented last week, but
no, there's
a different one?
No, not a different one. There's some stuff added to it. There's been three more complaints since the last time, or when it was approved.
Is the owner here for 215?
They researched it out. They were told, well, we got to wait till after the deadline. Well, they've already found it. They've already figured the deadline. So.
Well, okay, so is just one quick question. Is the owner here for 215? Okay. Second one I want to state is that the owner was sent an email, a certified letter, about this discussion, didn't show up, and that they're starting the legal process through what we've passed a couple weeks ago. So go ahead.
Sam Cannon, resident, South Padre Island. A couple of the other folks would speak too, but I probably can summarize that for all of us if that's okay.
That would be great.
I have two things to say. First of all, and I can give you this so you don't have to look for yourself, but these are the three citations that have been issued since April 16th when the ordinance was put in effect. That passes the threshold of enforcement, and we're asking that enforcement begin. I have from you, Mr. Mayor, the summary basically of what needs to happen and the process that is. We would like that happen and start immediately, because the words on the paper have been speak for themselves, and we want that to happen. We'll appreciate your quick.
Well, handling. As I mentioned, the owner was sent a certified letter, letting him know about reinforcing that he's got citations, and we're starting this process. We are going to be very diligent in enforcing this process, because we start getting into making sure that we're not infringing on property owners' rights and all this other stuff, and we don't want to go to the Supreme Court over this. So the city attorney has drawn up a map or a plan to execute this and make sure that it's thoroughly done and doesn't put us into any legal jeopardy, because we don't want to create case law. And we don't want this to be in limbo for 6 years, like the food truck lawsuit was. Because if you take something to lawsuit, you usually get a stay that you can't enforce the rule, and then we're all stuck with this problem for 6 or 7 years while it goes through the appeal court system. So we have started this process, and unfortunately the city attorney's not here tonight because he had a trial that was running late. I can tell you that we are in this process, and we will resolve it through the ordinance that was passed. We're just going to be very, very diligent about it.
Am I to understand that the council is aware that there are the three citations?
We have a flow chart already. There's a spreadsheet that's been built for the number of times the police have been called, the number of times where a citation was issued, the number of times a citation wasn't issued, or where they didn't find any issues. I think there's been like 14 calls, about 7 or 8 of them. There's either been warnings or a citation issued. And then there are 7 or 8 of them where there was nothing found. So that's also another issue that we have, is that that we've got to make sure that we're being very cautious on, is that we're not crying wolf, and that we're not trying to gang up on the guy and be malicious in the process, because that's one of the great excuses that an attorney can use to throw out our rights of pulling a license, which is a privilege.
Excuse me, which is why we are focusing on the citations, not the police visits or calls, but the citations.
So to interject, my report that I asked for only cites one citation, warnings, a lot of unfounded. So apparently, where did you get your report that has three citations?
May I give it to you?
Sure.
Make sure that deal that Patrick gave you gets into the record.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Sam.
You're
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, there was a citation issued on 528, 64, and 611. Today is, 618, and I said on 613, I believe, or 612, the person was sent a certified letter. So we're trying to go through this process as best we can and as fast as we can without, I guess there's a saying, slow is what, smooth, and smooth is fast, or something like that. We're trying to be very diligent on this, but we're also working at a good speed to try to resolve this for the neighborhood.
Okay. We are just focusing on the citations.
Right.
We will appreciate as quick an effort as possible as that goes. And where can we go for updates? Do I need to come back next week or in the next meeting and ask where we are? How is the easiest way for me and us to understand how the process is progressing?
Well, I think that, it's... I mean, I don't know how you want to do your deal. I mean, I think a simple email to Randy, once every week or so of where we are in the process, I think would be suffice. But if you want to come up to the meeting and ask, we can't respond, though. And so that's kind of – and then if we put this on the agenda every week, I would think that it starts looking like we've singled out somebody. And, that doesn't help items. I think that we need to be very fair in the process, and I understand that everybody has concerns. And we just got to make sure we do it right, that be that. But I guess however you want to do it.
And I do appreciate, I had sent you all an email, and I do appreciate the responses back that I got. And
You have our checklist. I mean, this is a process that we're going through. I sent it to you that was advised by legal counsel, and we're going to try to follow it to a T.
Yes. Item number two, right quick, is suggest and ask, I guess, our petition to have the West Carolina from Laguna Madre to Laguna Boulevard made no longer short-term rentals but long-term rentals. We have... 86% of the people who have signed, and I have one thing to say as well before we jump in. I know this is a big, long process. I'm going to give you again the same things yesterday, that I gave last time. But I'm also going to give you the map of the owners who signed the petition, and you can see that 86% of the people on the street signed the petition.
We can forward your petition over to planning and zoning. I don't know. I'm not an attorney, and I don't know what, the laws are on restricting and that sort of thing. I do know that 75. it's hard to spot zone by creating, different zonings. Like A zone, since ever its existence, doesn't allow long-term rental. But E is what you're in is kind of vague or whatever. And so I don't know how that process would work, but I will forward that over to planning and zoning and Ed can advise planning and zoning, and they can, because that's where it starts. That's where your zoning, if you're asking for a zoning change,
yes.
And that's where it would start, is with planning and zoning.
Homework, Emilio Longoria, professor of South Texas College of Law at Houston, says this. Texas gives local government a lot of responsibilities and rights. One of them is, if they so choose, they can put zoning ordinances in place. That's what we're asking.
I agree. It's just I don't know about spot zoning. When you just like, so spot zoning is like when you take one little area, like a little tiny area, and you make it different than all the areas around it. Usually zonings have to like be contiguous and whatever. And so, but I would say that we will forward this request over to planning and zoning, because that's the board that handles zoning and ordinance changes, and let them work on that.
That's where they always want stuff to
work on anyway.
Yeah. Just
let me also give you, this is the same thing as last time.
Wendy, can you make sure that planning and zoning gets this?
Thank you. Oh, my fault.
I guess that's all I have.
Thank you.
Well, actually, there's one thing. I would like to send a copy or to distribute a copy of the email that you sent me, Mr. Mayor, about the summary of the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we should all have it. It was sent to us, but
yeah, we all got it.
So everybody's got it?
Yeah, it was sent to the entire board.
Okay.
Bill's being very precise and making sure we take the proper steps, so I don't want to mess this up.
So we can leave tonight with confidence that things are being handled?
Yes, you can leave with confidence. As I said, we've sent them a certified letter and we've started the process.
Thank you very much.
All right. Then we have 5.6, discussion and clarification related to the issuance of bond resolution 2025-05. Ken, this is your item.
Yeah, Randy and I had met with Rodrigo, I guess last week, on clarification. I've been asked by several people about the bond and the tax increase. Rodrigo said he'd run over it again.
Mr. Mathers, we met last week. We just have a quick presentation, really. We're gonna go really fast. On the last council meeting, City Council approved Resolution 2025-05 to move forward with the issuance of a tax note for $6 million. We already drafted the first POS, which is the document that is used for all investors to purchase all the bonds and tax notes. We have financial advisors, bond counsel, and underwriters working on that, and the sale is scheduled to be on July the 16th. It's for $6 million, and the purpose of this note is to pay for $4.5 million of street improvements on the city of South Padre Island, to buy two new ambulances and equipment for the fire department in the amount of $1.2 million, and then three public safety vehicles and radios in the amount of $300,000. What impact this will have on a property tax rate? Basically, the additional payment that the city will have to pay will be $985,000. This will represent an increase rate in the tax rate of 3 cents. I think, honestly, it's going to be less than that, but I just being conservative, we're making 3 cents. The current tax rate is 23.2159, so it will be somewhere around the 26 cents. Again, the city is the lowest tax rate in the Hidalgo and the Cameron County, and one of the lowest tax rates in the state of Texas. But what does it really mean, the 3 cents? If you take as a reference of $100,000 of value in your property, this means that you will have to pay an additional $30 annually, or $2.50 more on a monthly basis. If you own $1 million home, it will be a $300 more annually and $25 more on a monthly basis. Just to use as a reference, the average homestead value of the city is $338,000, which will be $100 more on an annual basis, or $8.50 on a monthly basis.
Yeah, about $105 a month, basically. Or a year.
A year.
$8.50. cents a month. Okay. Ken, this was your item. Do you have anything else?
Oh, no. No, I just need to get it explained again, folks that are watching.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Seeing as there's no other items on the agenda, we are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.